thank you for listening to this sermon from Goodwill Church, located in New York's Hudson Valley. Goodwill Church is on a mission to be a hub of revival in the Northeast and beyond. For more information about our church, please visit goodwillchurch.org. Now, here's the sermon.
Psalm 107. That's what we're looking at today. We looked at Psalm 105 2 weeks ago, Psalm 106. They are linked. Psalm 105, we looked at the specific promises that God made to his people. And then in Psalm 106, and we're grateful to him, we're remembering that, in Psalm 106, basically how we disobeyed him, all the different ways we failed him, and still he came through and loved us anyway. And then in Psalm 107, now we have these dramatic scenes of his rescue and his deliverance. And so the past two, this is a long psalm too, but the past two, I kind of read the beginning and the end, and then we went through every verse of the psalm, but we saved the middle for looking at carefully later on in the sermon. I'm going to read the whole thing now, and I'm going to ask you to see if you hear some things repeated. There's a couple of sets of verses that are repeated four times, and one in particular that you want to just hear. And you want to locate, you want to get a sense of the structure of the psalm. There's a beginning, and then there's four different scenarios, and then a conclusion. This is Psalm 107. This is the Word of God, the infallible, inerrant, and now we have to add unalterable Word of God. Psalm 107. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his steadfast love endures forever. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom he has redeemed from trouble and gathered in from the lands, from the east and from the west, from the north and from the south. Some wandered in desert wastes, finding no way to a city to dwell in. Hungry and thirsty, their soul fainted within them. Then they cried to the Lord in their trouble, and he delivered them from their distress. He led them by a straight way till they reached a city to dwell in. Let them thank the Lord for his steadfast love, for his wondrous works to the children of man. For he satisfies the longing soul, and the hungry soul he fills with good things. Some sat in darkness and in the shadow of death, prisoners in affliction and in irons. For they had rebelled against the words of God and spurned the counsel of the Most High. So he bowed their hearts down with hard labor. They fell down with none to help. Then they cried to the Lord in their trouble, and he delivered them from their distress. He brought them out of darkness and the shadow of death and burst their bonds apart. Let them thank the Lord for his steadfast love, for his wondrous works to the children of man. For he shatters the doors of bronze and cuts in two the bars of iron. Some were fools through their sinful ways, and because of their iniquities suffered affliction. They loathed any kind of food, and they drew near to the gates of death. Then they cried to the Lord in their trouble, and he delivered them from their distress. He sent out his word and healed them and delivered them from their destruction. Let them thank the Lord for his steadfast love, for his wondrous works to the children of man. And let them offer sacrifices of thanksgiving and tell of his deeds and songs of joy. Some went down to the sea in ships doing business on the great waters. They saw the deeds of the Lord, his wondrous works in the deep. For he commanded and raised the stormy wind, which lifted up the waves of the sea. They mounted up to heaven, then went down to the depths. Their courage melted away in their evil plight. They reeled and staggered like drunken men and were at their wits' end. Then they cried to the Lord in their trouble, and he delivered them from their distress. He made the storm be still, and the waves of the sea were hushed. Then they were glad that the waters were quiet, and he brought them to their desired haven. Let them thank the Lord for his steadfast love, for his wondrous works to the children of man. Let them extol him in the congregation of the people and praise him in the assembly of the elders. He turns rivers into a desert, springs of water into thirsty ground, a fruitful land into a salty waste because of the evil of its inhabitants. He turns a desert into pools of water, a parched land into springs of water, and there he lets the hungry dwell, and they establish a city to live in, They sow fields and plant vineyards and get a fruitful yield. By his blessing, they multiply greatly, and he does not let their livestock diminish. When they are diminished and brought low through oppression, evil, and sorrow, he pours contempt on princes and makes them wander in trackless wastes. But he raises up the needy out of affliction and makes their families like flocks. The upright see it and are glad, and all wickedness shuts its mouth. Whoever is wise, let him attend to these things. Let them consider the steadfast love of the Lord. And all of God's people just had to say, amen. Lord, help us now to picture each one of these scenes and to get the lesson. If something's repeated in Scripture, all Scripture is important, Lord, but when something's repeated in Scripture, that means that Scripture is emphasizing that thing. And there is some repetition here in this psalm that you want to draw our attention to. So help us. Help us to pay attention to you. Help us to be interested in you in the first place. We can't do that without your help. Help us to want to live for you. Live according to the teaching of this psalm of your word and to bring you glory through it. In your name, Jesus, we pray, and all of God's people said, amen. Thank God. You've heard people say it. You've said it yourself. Thank God. The thing about it is that lots of people say this, whether they believe in God or not. It's a pretty incredible thing. And usually it's because of something favorable, something's happened that's good, something they wanted, they're relieved, that kind of thing. In the Bible, you see more than this. You see people thanking God in what at first would seem to be strange situations to be thankful for. Daniel, in Daniel chapter 6, verse 10, he just learned that it was illegal to pray. And what did he do? He prayed. He went up and prayed and thanked God in that prayer, not knowing what would happen, not knowing if he would survive. Jonah thanks God from inside the great fish. Doesn't know if he's going to survive, doesn't know what's going to happen next. He thanks God there. Hannah thanks God. She's childless. That's a curse from God, according to the culture she lived in. And so she feels it and suffers because of that and is praying for relief from that. And she does not know what's going to happen, but she thanks God. She rejoices in his faithfulness. Paul thanks God in the middle of a storm in Acts. Jesus thanks God. All he has in his hands is one small lunch, a boy's lunch. And he wants to feed 5,000, probably 5,000 men, so many more than 5,000. The miracle hadn't happened yet. He thanks God. More poignantly, later on in his life, he's there at a Passover table, and he's got the bread and the cup, and he knows he is going to be that broken bread. He is going to be that poured out cup. That's where he's headed. He's been talking about it all along, whether his disciples have understood it or not. You can read about it throughout the Gospels. And what does he do? Knowing what's going to happen, he thanks God. That's hard for us to imagine. It's not the first thing that comes to mind. But the Christian life that's taught to us in the pages of Scripture is a life where you're grateful in every circumstance, and that's always a power available to you in any and every circumstance. The power to thank God, to be grateful to God. It changes everything. It's the difference maker. And it's the fruit of sanctification in our lives, that we're able to be grateful for things that we would not be grateful for otherwise. It starts with small things. It helps to start with small things. The Scriptures say to be grateful in everything. I came up with a stream of consciousness list. You can tell from the list, it's probably early in the morning for me. You'd have your own list, just small little things. First thing I was grateful for was snoring. Grateful for snoring. What does that mean? That means your loved one is alive, okay? Amen? and you didn't wake her or him up. You know, if you're in close proximity to snoring. Next thing that came to mind is if you have to get up all night for one reason or another, some of us that happens, you know who you are and you know why. Just keep in mind that somebody else wishes they had your problem. I am reminded of this, being a pastor, chaplain, visiting people, suffering physically. I know that if I'm sore, there's people who want my soreness. You know, I used to be the chaplain at the nursing home, where there used to be a chapel over there, Montgomery Nursing Home. I inherited that role from the past pastor. He had that role, I think, throughout his career. And I would go there every week, so the same people would come, you know, and I knew their favorite hymns, their favorite scriptures even. And I would say to them pretty regularly, hey, make this look good. Make getting old look good, because we're all trying to get there. I'm here not eating what I want to eat, not eating as much as I want to eat, which is quite a bit, because I want to get to where you are. That's why I'm exercising. And I would know their ages. I want to get to 80, Gladys. You know, I want to get to 90, Doris. You know, whatever the names were. They had some pretty classic names. And there was one that was close to 100 or 100. And I want to get there, so make it look good. I'm grateful for Chihuahua poop. On the mat, especially. But even if it's not on the mat. And here's why, because I could be angry about it. Maybe that's me in the middle of the night with my socks. Stefan, I don't know, what can I do? Well, it picks up pretty easy. I have a big dog too. And I don't know why big dogs, they're not messing around. Oh no, I'm gonna find the farthest part in the yard. Don't worry about me, says our 95-pound German Shepherd. But our 9-pound Chihuahua is like, you know, whatever. You know, little dogs tend to be like that. That's the thing with little dogs. If you have one, you know. I could lose it. I could get all. I could just. And so much of life is like Chihuahua poop, right? You can just deal with it. Just pick it up, deal with it. You know. If it's on the mat, be grateful. If you're outside, and she goes outside, then it's always a cause for great celebration. Good dog. We're having a good dog day here. Amen. Little things to be grateful for. Next thing that came to mind, this is my stream of consciousness. Yours might be different. Garbage collectors. No kidding here. We wouldn't survive without them. They're keeping us alive. I think so few people realize that, how important they are. No kidding. And I think what I was hearing at the time was the backup beeping of the garbage truck at 5 a.m., you know, and getting my cans and hearing all that and knowing, thank God for that. I mean, who cares if your Wi-Fi is up? If nobody's ever getting the garbage and it's coming to life and hunting you down, and it will, maybe pestilence, disease at first, but it will. And there's parts of the world where this is part of their reality. Trying to survive because it's difficult because they don't have something that seems this simple, that's so easy to ignore. The next thing that came to mind after that, the end of my list, hot showers. It's probably a good place to end that list, isn't it? Yeah. Sometimes you ever be in a hot shower situation like that and you're just, I don't deserve this. And it's happening to you. You're not doing anything. It's happening to you, and it just kind of reminds you of God. Because you didn't do anything to get God on your side, to be good, to do all the right things. That's religion, and not the Christian religion really either. That's human religion. You know, we're going to work our way up the totem pole, up the mountain. We're going to get there, and what's the end result usually? We'll be God. There it is. Perfect. Perfect human religion. That's not the religion of the Bible. The religion of the Bible is He gives us what we cannot give ourselves. We receive, we rest in what He gives us. So these are little things, and I think what the Holy Spirit does in so many of our lives, because we deal with these annoyances. We're not dealing with the things that Daniel or Jonah or Paul are dealing with. Instead, we're trying to pay a bill. We're trying to deal with a family member. We're just trying to get through the day, get through the week, get through the season. Psalm 107 brings us into these scenarios where they're big. They're big, and we can relate to them. And we're meant to think and to attempt to relate to them. The psalm starts with verses 1 through 3. Then you have these four sections. And I think you heard the refrain. I asked you to listen for it. Let them thank the Lord for his steadfast love, for his wondrous works to the children of man. It repeats four times. Also, the verse about crying to the Lord repeats. This one stands out a little more, but they're related. And those four sections, this is what they focus on. You know, we're lost, we find a home. You know, we're imprisoned because of our rebellion. He sets us free. Our folly has made us sick. In some way, he brings healing. Unearned direction, unearned freedom, unearned healing. And then finally, this great description of a storm, and then the conclusion. So it all starts with giving thanks to God. You know, oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his steadfast love endures forever. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Every time I read those words, the song comes in my head, and it's hard to dislodge it. I'm not going to sing it out because I don't want to do that to you. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Maybe that's a good thing because the song reminds me of the scriptures. Amen. Whom he has redeemed from trouble and gathered in from the lands, from the east and from the west, from the north and from the south. So this is the intro to these four hair-raising stories. And the first begins this way. Some wandered in desert wastes, finding no way. So there's no way, that's important, look at that, to a city to dwell in. Hungry and thirsty, their soul fainted within them. Then they cried to the Lord in their trouble, and he delivered them from their distress. So notice that his deliverance is linked with our cry. The two happen at the same time. Are you crying out to the Lord today? Are you in some sort of trouble today? Here's what the Bible teaches you to believe. He led them by a straight way till they reached a city to dwell in. So he makes a way where there is no way. Look at that. Going back, finding no way to a city to dwell in. We can't find the way. What does he do? He shows us the way. A straight way he leads us by till they reach a city to dwell in. And what's our response? Let them thank the Lord for his steadfast love, for his wondrous works to the children of man. So that's the first time that we see that. And then there, after you see that, then you see some concluding statements of gratitude based on the scenario. For he satisfies the longing soul and the hungry soul he fills with good things. So notice that he's the one who does it. He fills the longing soul, the hungry soul. He fills with good things. Second group. So I just put a little, you know, first story, lost. Second story, prison. Some sat in darkness and in the shadow of death. Prisoners in affliction and in irons. For they had rebelled against the works of God and spurned the counsel of the Most High. So he bowed their hearts down with hard labor. They fell down with none to help. So they had it coming. They deserved it. Their rebellion brought about this consequence in their lives. What do you do? What does the scripture teach us to do when this is the case in our own lives? Next verse. Then they cried to the Lord in their trouble, and he delivered them from their distress. We've seen that before. They cried to the Lord in their trouble. He delivered them in their distress. He sent out his word. He brought them out of darkness and the shadow of death and burst their bonds apart. He set them free. Last night we had our Saturday night service. I think we have more people who are in recovery at that Saturday night service openly. You know, they're teachers. They've been in recovery decades. And when they saw this and when we read this, I just heard a big amen. Because they know what it's like to be set free from a prison they built around themselves and how good God is. Here's the response we have to God because he sets us free again. Verse 8, this is verse 15. Let them thank the Lord for his steadfast love, for his wondrous works to the children of man. For he shatters the doors of bronze and cuts in two the bars of iron. Can you feel it? Isn't that good to be set free? And notice that the snares are getting more personal. So first we're lost. And some of us, we felt lost even this week. Some of us, you're sitting right here right now or you're listening online and you are lost. You don't know where you're going. You don't know what you're doing. You don't know what to think. In fact, you check with the internet. It's time to watch another round of YouTube videos to figure out what I'm thinking. Because somebody's going to tell you what to think. You're lost. We have a whole world full of people lost in this way. Maybe you really feel the prison. The thing that you're doing, you're trapped in it. Would you call it an addiction? Some would. It's definitely an affliction. It hampers your whole life. It's a beautiful sunny day, but you can't see the beautiful sunny day because you have to see it through the grid of these prison bars. You're trapped in this situation. Who can set you free? It's going to be God. This is what he does. And now this it gets more personal. So some of us are lost, you know, some of us were in prison, you know. And then here's the next group. Some were fools. Ouch. Through their sinful ways. And because of their iniquity, suffered affliction. None of us want to be on that list. All of us are on that list. And notice what it says here. They loathed any kind of food. That's really interesting. Because food gives us sustenance. Food is a part of life in Christ. You know, in heaven there'll be a feast. We're called to the table. You know, so many of the descriptions of God's provision, they include a description of food. God uses food. There's something sacred about us having a meal together. And in heaven, that he'll have a meal with us. That'll be the last time we go through the bread and the cup. Last time we take what we call the Lord's Supper, that time it really will be that last time. And that'll be the first time since he did it in the gospel that he takes it. So food, it sustains us. The word of God is called food. The bread of life. You know, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of the Lord. So it's a different kind of food. And so when we're lost and imprisoned, and now because of our folly, suffering, just suffering, well, we don't even know what's good for us. We're not going to make choices that are healthy or wise. We're going to make choices that are otherwise. They loathed any kind of food. They drew near to the gates of death. Here it is again. If it's repeated in Scripture, you're being taught something. Maybe you could ignore it. You know, maybe this isn't that interesting. Maybe you ought not to ignore it because maybe it's no accident at all that you're hearing it right now. What do they do? Look at it. What are you supposed to do? Learn from it. Then what do? They cried to the Lord in their trouble. And he delivered them from their distress. They cried to the Lord. You can do that right now. You can be listening to me and nobody around you can even tell that it's happening. And inside your heart, inside your head, inside of you, you can be crying out to him right now, Say, I'm crying out to you in my distress. I know it's no accident that I'm seeing these words, that I'm hearing these words from your word, and I am seeking you, what you can do. I am being edified and encouraged now by your word. It says here, he sent out his word and healed them and delivered them from their destruction. It's like the Bible, the word of God. It's like a flotation device thrown to you when you go overboard. Yes, that's good stuff. And what do we do? What's next for us? Third repetition, let them thank the Lord for his steadfast love, for his wondrous works to the children of man. And let them offer sacrifices of thanksgiving and tell of his deeds in songs of joy. Kind of sounds like what church is supposed to be. And church is never a building. It's you and I together singing and praying and looking at his word and engaging in fellowship, being closer to him, closer to each other, sacrificing offerings of thanksgiving, singing songs of joy. The final group. Some went down to the sea in ships, doing business on the great waters. Then they saw the deeds of the Lord, his wondrous works in the deep, for he commanded and raised the stormy wind which lifted up the waves of the sea. So this could be a little troubling, because the thing that we're afraid of is what God is doing. God is doing this. They mounted up to heaven. What is that? That's the waves. They mounted up to heaven. They went down to the depths. Their courage, the people's courage, melted away in their evil plight. They reeled and staggered like drunken men and were at their wits' end. You ever seen a video or maybe a scene in a movie where there's a ship and the ship is pretty big, but the waves are so big that they just seem to swallow the ship as the wave just towers up and then goes all the way down, and you see that ship just being tossed. You ever see a video of people on a cruise ship? There they are on their cruise ship, and here comes the wave over the side of the cruise ship. And you see the furniture being scattered. You see the baby grand piano being rolled to the other side of the ship. Let me tell you, at that moment, your vacation is over. Right? And that's the moment being described here. You don't even know how to stand. I mean, We've had those moments. Some of us, you're in the middle of that now. I don't even know. I can't even stand up straight. I'm reeling. I'm staggering. What do I do? I'm at my wit's end. What does the Bible give for me to do? Then they cried to the Lord in their trouble, and he delivered them from their distress. I guess the Bible is teaching us to believe in God, to trust in God. I think it's a radical idea. Whether you're in church or not, whether you're a church-going person, whether you claim to be a Christian or not, from what I've seen, even in my own life, that's a pretty radical idea, to trust that God would be who God says he is in his word, that he would do what he says he will do in his word, to trust. I mean, when we're staggering and reeling like that, when we can't even stand up, when the ship is being tossed, when the wave is like as high as a mountain, and then it just drops down as low as a valley, I mean, there's no thinking. There's no, let's get together and come up with a plan for how to get out of this. You know, let's review the 7 steps to lead a more successful life. No, the 7 steps are out the window along with everything else. You got nothing left to do but cry out to him. And what does he do? And by the way, I hope that in each of these scenarios, you're seeing Jesus, because he did all these things. Jesus acted like he was God when he walked the earth. Because he was, he is. That's the point. See how familiar this is if you know the story from the Gospels. Then they cried to the Lord in their trouble, and he delivered them from their distress. He made the storm be still, and the waves of the sea were hushed. Oh, that's a great moment when you don't have those waves anymore. Then they were glad that the waters were quiet, and he brought them to their desired haven. Look to God to be who he says he is, to do what he says he'll do, to give you this peace, this quiet. The storm will end. He will bring it to an end. He will bring you through it. He will not leave your side during it. Maybe the hard part is it's his storm. That may be the hard part. That's the hard part about salvation. We always want to lighten it. We always want to say, well, we're saved from our sin. We're saved from, and we are, we're saved from the consequences of our sin, hell. What are we really saved from? We're saved from God. We're saved from the wrath of God. That's how powerful it is. And we don't want to go there. The Bible goes there. It doesn't hesitate, as it didn't hesitate to describe the source of the storm here. That's the hard part. That's the good part. He's in control of all things. You can trust him. He's bringing you through the storm. That makes some people angry, bitter, confused. Why? Because you want to be God? You want to be in control? You want to get inside God's head? That will never happen. You can be in glory 1,000,000 years with a glorified mind, and you will not know. You will not know what God knows. You will have more why questions than you have now. Why? Why? And most of those questions will be about his love. How do we respond in our gladness? Now there's peace. Well, here it is, the final repetition. Let them thank the Lord for his steadfast love, for his wondrous works to the children of man. Let them extol him in the congregation of the people and praise him in the assembly of the elders. And the rest of the psalm really sums up the work of God and what kind of God he is as he represents himself in Scripture. And keep in mind that the prison was deserved, right? The lostness, that's what we are. The sickness, whatever it was, our folly brought that about. The storm, he didn't need to save us from it. He doesn't need to provide that. We don't deserve it. We didn't do anything. There's no partnership. No, not in these scenarios. There's no God helps those who help themselves. That's not a verse of Scripture, by the way. God helps those who can't help themselves. Amen? And that's what he's done over and over again. And so the rest of the psalm reviews this. He turns rivers into a desert, springs of water into thirsty ground, a fruitful land into a salty waste because of the evil of its inhabitants. Or, other side of it, he turns a desert into pools of water, a parched land into springs of water. Keep in mind, he's the God of the underdog. He's the God of the second born. He's the God of the loser, God of the weak. We resist that. There's something in us. I don't want to be weak. I don't want to be the loser. But the world's greatest winner, whoever that would be in any generation, will have lost, will be gone, won't be a part of the next generation. Maybe be remembered, but that's it. And even the story that we remember isn't the story of the real person. It's the details we choose to remember, and then those get twisted pretty quickly. He's the God of the loser, the underdog, the second born. He's the one who turns deserts into paradise-like scenes with water and springs and life. And there he lets the hungry dwell, and they establish a city to live in. They sow fields and plant vineyards and get a fruitful yield. By his blessing, they multiply greatly, and he does not let their livestock diminish. It's ordinary. The blessed life is an ordinary life. And as we're set free from all the sinful ambition, all these things that we strive for that keep us awake in the middle of the night, although he would give us sleep, it's the ordinary life. And the details here would really matter to the people from whom this psalm came. You know, the context of these people. When they are diminished, this is how God works with his people, and brought low through oppression, evil, and sorrow, whether it's their own doing or someone else's. He pours contempt on princes and makes them wander in trackless wastes. Now, that can be confusing. A prince would be somebody who has the world by the tail, who could act like he doesn't need God. And God pours contempt on that. That's all our attempts at control, security, safety. I believe in all that. I do the best I can in that. I work with people, and that's their whole livelihood. The thing is, the scripture tells us not to put our trust in that, to put our trust in him. Amen? Put our trust in him. He pours contempt on princes and makes them wander in trackless wastes, but he raises up the needy out of affliction and makes their families like flocks. The upright see it and are glad, and all wickedness shuts its mouth. Whoever is wise, let him attend to these things. Let him consider the steadfast love of the Lord. Summarized by these two words, thank God. Thank God. That's the wise thing to do, the good thing to do. You know, I rebelled, played the fool, almost died in a storm, got lost. He led me, he freed me, he healed me, he redeemed me. Let them thank the Lord for his steadfast love, for his wondrous works to the children of man. Thank God. Maybe you can see yourself in one of those stories. Maybe you have a dramatic testimony. I remember when I first became a Christian, I used to love dramatic testimonies. There used to be a radio show on the radio called Unshackled. Anybody remember that? Kind of had the organ music, and it was always this dramatic story of somebody being saved, being delivered. And it was a lot like one of those dramatic stories we just read. And you know, I used to love that. And I remember thinking, you know, if we're going to have a testimony service, you got to have some juicy testimonies. I don't know how many juicy testimonies we have in the room. Maybe some. I think the juicy testimonies are at the other services, right? The 11 o'clock service, right? Because they needed all morning to get ready, right? So the juicy testimonies are the Saturday night service. That goes without saying, right? Yeah, they acknowledged it last night, too. I remember being touched by, I'm sorry about the mic doing that, but I remember being touched by this powerful realization that your testimony does not need to be juicy. I had this older man who's part of this church, mentored me, and his testimony was about as boring a testimony as I'd ever heard. I mean, just a yawner. But he would tear up every time he told it. I mean, he would tear up. He would feel it. And it occurred to me, it took me a little while to think this through and to experience it. And I know God used this as he used the man in my life. We all are grateful to God, and we're all led because we're lost, and we're all grateful for the love of God and his wondrous works in our lives. And we want to take the opportunity that the Word of God gives us to remember that our story is like these. It may not feel like it is. It may not feel like, yeah, I was in the ship and I was going up and down this mountainous wave. Maybe some of you have a testimony like that or a life experience like that. But a lot of us, it is just about getting through the week. Still, he is this God. When you are in trouble, the psalm has taught us. What do? You cry out to him. Amen? Let's do that now. Thank you, Lord, so much. If anyone here is in trouble, and who knows, Lord? I hear the interference of the mic, and I always think, is something happening where an opponent wants to oppose what's going on in someone's life, and so they're going to use some other element to distract, Lord. Lord, if someone's here and they are, we can't see it, but you can. They're lost. They're in need of healing. They need to be set free. They're in the middle of a terrible storm. Lord, let them know that all of this was for them. You are hearing their cry. You are working wonders. You are saving and delivering. You can be trusted as our Savior. You are who the Bible says you are. And Lord, for all the rest of us, help us to be grateful too. As grateful for the same salvation, the same rescue. Our context may be different, the details may be different, but the story is the same. I could not help myself. I could not save myself. I was at my wit's end, and I cried out to you, and you delivered me. Thank you, Lord Jesus. In your name we pray, and all of God's people said, amen.
Thank you again for listening to today's sermon. For more resources and information about Goodwill Church, visit goodwillchurch.org. God bless.